And now, I'd like to show my love by making for you a Quebec pizza.
What's that?
Pop-Tart with the ketchup. She's good.
Daniel Palmer, San Antonio, Texas.
Hey, Doc, we better back up. We don't have enough road to get up to 88.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Ba-la-la-la.
It's showtime.
This is Old School at the... Hold on, wait a second.
Oh, wait, no, dude, yeah, no.
What the... Wait, hold on. This isn't Old School at the Movies?
No, you can that show, remember?
Oh, right! Hold on, do not adjust your podcasting players. Yes, it is true. Mr. Old School is now the host, temporarily, of WrestleCast Live. We're going to change it to WrestleCast Live. Make it sound so much better. But, well, we are doing a little bit of editing. Not too much, though. We're going to try to keep it as live as possible. But, of course, Skype's usually a bitch. So, we might have to do a bit of post.
Don't besmirch, Mike. Don't besmirch it while we're on it.
I was besmirched. Just like, that cuts everybody off. I was besmirched. So, Heavy Set's taking a bit of a sabbatical. If you noticed, there wasn't a show last week. There's a reason for that. It's because, again, technology's been a bit of a pain in the ass. So the entire episode got scrapped when he tried to convert it and it fucking just corrupted. So, and it was a pretty fun episode too. And it was going to be a bit of a send off. So unfortunately there's no send off for Heavy Set, but he will be back eventually, but he's just doing 8,000 different fucking podcasts. So I said, you know what? In the short term, I'll be the Brian Hayward to his Patrick Waugh, and only about five people get that joke, but I'm essentially going to be the temporary host. What he did for the AWWIR, we're going to do for WrestleCast. So you heard these two guys already, but I will introduce them anyways. Our Iron Man. Yeah, he's still the Iron Man. Mr. Karp.
That's right, baby. Back with a vengeance.
And also, a little bit of technical issues there, but we got him going. Biohazard's on this week as well. How's it going, buddy?
Hey, I'm back, finally. After, what, a month off?
Well, yeah, I mean, you were working, and then you had a bunch of computer problems. Like, it was just...
Wi-Fi was down for a while, and then
had to
get up at 4 in the morning.
Did you just get a router or something, or what was that Wi-Fi issue?
No, we've had outages in the area lately, so it's just been very weird.
Oh, gotcha. Are you in an area where it's, like, broadcast Wi-Fi, you're saying?
No. We have a Wi-Fi box in the house, you know, through our cable network.
Okay, and the cable network was down.
Yeah. It happens every now and then, but it's kind of rare that it just happened.
You know, this is all just a testing phase by the Russians for when they wipe you guys out, right?
You're the guinea pigs, man.
I already bought my coat. I'm headed up there in the next 2 weeks, guys.
Start with small town America, and you just work your way out. Hey, they did in Red Dawn.
Just pull a Snowden and just learn the fuck. I think he learns the language now, or he knows the language anyways. He bit fucking better because he ain't coming back anytime soon. All right. So we're going to change the format a little bit. Hopefully Heavy Set doesn't kick my ass, but we're going to change it up a little bit. WrestleCast Live episode, or as I wrote in the show notes, episode 163. We're going to actually do a news segment. So let's get into it.
I'm Bruce Nolan for Eyewitness News. Back to you, fuckers.
Still wrong show.
No. You know what? There's no problem recycling clips. It's good for the environment. All right. Our first news story this week, guys. Fucking Finn Balor reportedly injured at Raw. Now, whoever didn't see the match, he had a match with Jinder Mahal. And Jinder Mahal knocked the fucking shit out of him with his elbow. You could see it. The second I saw it, nails him in the head with the elbow. He just completely face first into the mat. With no resistance, I'm like, oh shit, this isn't good. Guys, what are your thoughts? Let's start with Karp, because this is like the worst fucking luck in the world.
Yeah, that was retardedly stiff. Like, they're like slow-mo replay, and you see like the, like the face wave getting knocked out a la Street Fighter style. Right. You know what? Concussions are a part of this business. Hopefully it's not severe in any way. If he's off TV a couple of weeks, that's fine. Now he can't get his revenge, unfortunately, due to other factors on Mahal. But we'll see. You know, it's his second week back. It sucks. But it's not like he tore a muscle or broke something. Concussions are 3 to 6 weeks, depending on the severity. So
my only concern here is, and I Vince would be an idiot for thinking of it, but just like this guy's injury prone. You know, he had that kind of Sasha Banks issue where she was getting hurt all the time. My only concern is that he's going to be worried about this guy. Actually, I want to get Bio's thoughts here. Bio, if you're Vince McMahon, is this a concern for you? Is this bad timing, or is this a sign like I can't elevate this guy because he's always getting hurt?
I think it was just bad timing. It was just a freak accident that I think they were just too close and Jinder threw that forearm and it caught him, cold cocked him. I'm hoping this time around Vince doesn't do the, well, he's injured, here we go again, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, because that's
I'm hoping the thing. It's just 2 weeks and then, you know, back to square one.
Well, what's the concussion protocol? Is it 4 weeks or how does it work? Do you guys know?
I want to say it's supposed to be 2 weeks, but they had to pass the concussion test after 2 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah, they have to pass what's called an impact test.
Mm-hmm.
They got to run the ropes and all that and take a Z-pack.
Well, it's weird. It's almost like, remember when you did your driving test and it's like, where do you see the blinking lights?
Yeah.
It's like that a little bit from what I've heard and then some other things. So it depends what their protocol is. Like I know in football and the NHL, it's like they have to put the guy in a dark room and he has to pass like certain levels of, you know, brain activity. They have to measure him and then they'll go from there. And most of the times guys will return to the ice right away. You've seen, or back to the NFL game where, I mean, yeah, concussions are a serious issue and they're not to be fucked with, but you know, it's going to happen. Hell, I'm sure I've had concussions as a kid. Well, they were called getting our bell rung back in the day. My nephew,
you're just giving a box still told to go back up the field.
My nephew's 14 and he's already had 3 concussions. So,
jeez, okay.
Jesus Christ. It's gotten a lot. They say it's gotten a lot worse. I think society's gotten a lot weaker, but that's me. So
maybe it's just a question of people being more aware of it. Not that it's been worse, right? That just they like you said, they know to look for it now so they can prevent further injury. You know, they stop them right away kind of thing instead of just working through it.
Yeah, I think I would agree with that.
Yeah. Okay. Next one. SmackDown tops 3 million viewers for the first time since the draft. And in the article I sent you guys, if you look at the SmackDown, for me, the biggest number here is the SmackDown percentage of Raw audience. You see the comparison? And this is actually the first time since the starting of the live portion of it, of the roster split, that it's hit 90% of the Raw audience. Now, we all know the format's garbage. And I mean, I hate to say it, but you know, I'm going to eat my words here. So the SmackDown format's way better. It's shorter. I find you got more wrestling in it, better dynamic. I find Raw's just fucking recycled, boring, and it's tough to sit through a 3-hour show. So guys, either one of you, is there a point in the near future where SmackDown hits that 100% where they're getting the same rating?
Well, we've had where SmackDown's beat Raw in the ratings. So it's not the first week because I think there was at least one week.
From what I'm checking here, if you see the numbers in the article, since the first, because it was January, right? We got the roster split, or was that before? I'm trying to remember now.
We got the roster split back in August.
Oh, okay.
It was right before SummerSlam,
the numbers I'm seeing are all 2017.
Yeah, since January, that would be correct.
Okay, so I guess rephrase the question short term. At what point do you think they're going to either match or start going at, actually, do you think they're going to start beating Raw in ratings? Like say within the next 6 months,
Because of what happened, there's a small possibility. I think that they could beat them a couple of weeks here and there, but really it depends on what's on TV. I mean, once the NFL is back, Raw's going to be getting beat by SmackDown. I think.
Right.
So,
yeah, because Raw's ratings always drop in during NFL season. And since SmackDown's on Tuesday, there's not a whole lot going on Tuesday.
And even yesterday, like the only other sport on was NBA, and they were all throwaway games because I think the NBA playoffs are already decided. Nobody's going to watch something that there's no factor, like there's no importance to. Like if SmackDown were on tonight, like, I mean, SmackDown is actually being preempted in Canada next week because of the NHL playoffs.
Yeah, but that's a niche thing. Like, you're not going to have the U.S. be preempted because of the NHL playoffs. You know what I mean? Like, it's just the circumstance. And whatever, England, if they had like a major football match, you know what I mean? It might get preempted kind of thing. Although I think they have like a billion channels, so it's not a problem there.
I don't know. I think now the way SmackDown is looking, SmackDown was the better show this week. 2 hours definitely helps. That third hour, man.
Like, it's the killer. It's the killer. I've been saying all along, you got to have NXT or something that's non-Raw related on that first hour or maybe the third hour. But just have that actual Raw show, the 2 hours, and just put something else on and that last hour. Maybe they figure just people won't be engaged enough and just will leave. But, I mean, as long as you make it good, even make it an interview show.
That Raw Talk or whatever they've been doing that last hour, even last 45 minutes, something like that. I could be down for that.
Because, I think it's universally everybody, just like every smark, just can't do the 3 hours. They're having a lot of trouble. All right. So let's get the results of the shakeup. As for those who didn't know, they had what's called the Superstar Shakeup, which is kind of like a mini draft or whatever. Seems to be very last minute put together. Instead of actually having what I thought was going to happen was like a Shane McMahon, and maybe Daniel Bryan and Kurt Angle on both shows doing like trades, it was just people would randomly show up. And although I guess it's cool to have that initial pop, it seemed very, in my opinion, very like just not well thought out, very quick to be put together, sloppy. Actually, let's get your initial thoughts, Carp. Do you agree with me? Like, it was just a stupid way of doing this kind of mini draft or shakeup or whatever they call it.
We'd already discussed this on earlier episodes. My thought was they should have like almost like a trade center, trade desk type thing.
Yep. Okay, I remember that. Yeah, I agree.
And have somebody from, let's say, NXT being a neutral person and being like, oh, you know, and just traded Kurt Angle, just traded this tag team for this tag team on SmackDown and blah, blah, blah. Like, that's what they should have done.
Yeah.
In my opinion. I mean, because that would have been actual good filler, except for Raw, outside of the other filler that they placed on this week.
Because everybody likes that draft format, you know? Like, anybody who's a fan of pro sports, NFL, you got the draft and NHL, the draft and all that stuff. And it's exciting. You don't know, like, who's going to get drafted where. I always thought, too, NXT should have, like, when they go to call up, they should have a mini draft, too. And, like, both of the shows should, like, kind of compete for, instead of just people randomly showing up. Bio, do you agree with this? Did you like how they did it? Or would you prefer, like, a draft format?
I would have rather them, the two managers, be on the show.
Yeah.
Doing trades, but I think it boosted the ratings a little bit to have a surprise, like have Dean Ambrose show up. It's like, he's not supposed to be here, you know, and that, I think the initial thing kind of piqued everybody's interest. And then I think after they did the first couple guys over, it should have been, all right, here's what we're negotiating. And they should have went into a negotiation style show. But I think the initial pops that they had were good with Miz and Dean Ambrose, stuff like that.
Because, I mean, that with the trade desk thing, you know, it could have been like, oh, and, you know, the neutral guy's like, oh, they're discussing the trade right now, and then come back from break and the guy comes out. And then even have both of them like, oh, well, I'll trade you these two for these two. And let's say Kurt Angle going, you're insane. These two are not worth this two. Kind of like when Foley said he trades Zayn for Eva Marie, you know, you could have done things like that too. But
yeah, you could have made it. Yeah. And just get like sports insiders to help you write it, you know?
Yeah. Look, you could have brought in the Jonathan Coachman. He's on ESPN right now. He's doing a thing with WWE.
Yeah, have the crossover. Fucking genius. Look at this guy. Carp's outbooking the bookers. Okay. For those who didn't watch the two shows, these are who the superstars that got moved over. So for Raw now has Bray Wyatt, Alexa Bliss, Mickey James, Kurt Hawkins, Dean Ambrose, The Miz, like you said earlier, which I think is awesome. Maryse, of course, is going to follow him. Apollo Crews, yay. Kalisto, I guess he's going to be able to feed his family now. Heath Slater and Rhino. Guys, I mean, any thoughts on this bio? I mean, for me, the ones that stand out are Miz, Alexa, and Bray.
Yeah, there was a report I read earlier saying Bray was the last minute change, that originally they were going to do Styles in that spot, which I thought would have been good for Raw, but bad for SmackDown.
Yeah. I mean, it would have been cool to see the club together for sure. But
especially with the feud of Bray versus Finn. If, like, I was sitting there thinking, if that was supposed to have been AJ versus Finn and the club's also on Raw, would have been cool. The IWC's dream. You know?
Yeah, no, that would have been very cool. Carp, for you, what are your thoughts on the Raw switch?
Bringing Kalisto over for 205 is obviously a good thing. Miz and Maryse deserve this. It's that simple. They've been, outside of AJ Styles, they've been the highlight of SmackDown.
Yeah.
And so, obviously, I'm pretty sure they're going to kill off the imitation of the Bella Cena gimmick there.
Yeah, it wouldn't make a lot of sense.
I mean, I could have done without Dean Ambrose on either show, personally. They could have put him back down to NXT, and I still wouldn't give a shit.
Right.
So, Apollo Crews, we'll see. He maybe this is a push in the right direction for him. He needs
something.
He needs something. Yeah. And this, just being stagnant on...
Him being overly smiley is, I think, a big problem. And the fact that he doesn't really have a character either.
Now, here's the thing is, with Kofi gone, I was like, oh, they'll put him with the New Day. And then it's like, New Day's...
kind of racist.
Huh? Well, no, it's not racist. Well, obviously. That was the whole initial gimmick of it. It was, you know, they were supposed to be a heel group. They were a heel group. And then the fans are like, no, we love them now. So.
Yeah, well, who knows? You know what? Like, anything that this guy can get right now is going to be a bonus or just a step up from what he's got now, which is fuck all. So. You know, good on him. Hopefully he does something. In my opinion,
with the two women going, I was like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
They only have four women left on SmackDown. So,
well, right away, you're like, okay, there's going to be a switch over, right? Like, you can't just have all the women on one show. It's going to be switch over. And it was pretty obvious who the big name in the female and the women's division was going to be because, I mean, Charlotte jobbing twice. Like, there's no way. So she's getting moved over. And what I suspected happened. So for the SmackDown side, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, like these guys can't get rid of each other. Jinder Mahal, I don't know if this was like some kind of demotion for what happened. Primo, Epico, yay. Charlotte, that's the big name. Sin Cara, Rusev with Lana. And with Lana, it looks like they were debuting a segment. I don't know if she's going to be wrestling now. If she is, cool. Kofi, fucking broken leg Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods and Big E. Of course, they get drafted as a group. Although some shows were like going to split it up or, well, as of the last draft, they were drafting the teams together. So I guess it makes sense.
Yeah, well, it said New Day is coming to SmackDown.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Lana's been wrestling in NXT on the live events.
Okay,
so
cool.
Maybe she's gotten good enough to wrestle on, you know, big roster, so.
Yeah, well, I mean, SmackDown's a great way to start, in my opinion. That's that's how Miz and AJ really got to that upper tier. They were given an opportunity. So, in your opinion, which roster do you think benefited the most? Bio.
SmackDown.
Okay.
I mean, you have Owens, Zayn, Styles, Nakamura.
Like, just those wet dream. I'm just
yeah, but keep alone. In mind Nakamura was a draft. Wasn't really part of the draft. It just kind of happened. So if I'm just saying, like looking on paper, minus Nakamura.
Well, I mean, Tamina's back for the women's division too, and Charlotte. True, so yeah. I think the women's division will have some better competition. I think Tamina's a great wrestler. She's just never been used properly.
I find the only time she was used properly was AJ's muscle. I thought that was perfect booking for her. Mm-hmm. And then when AJ went away, of course, that went away. But I thought that was when she was at her best. Yeah, I would say Raw's got the better. Well, no, it's pretty close, though. You're right, though. Raw's getting more women. They're better women. It was pretty evenly matched. Like Owens and Zayn, Wyatt and Mitch. So it's not
freshly shaved Kevin Owens.
Yeah. Good on him.
I haven't seen a freshly shaved Kevin Owens since IWS.
Good on him. Okay.
I don't think he should have shaved, but yeah.
Okay. Well, we will get, I guess we'll get into that. We're going to change our keep, toss, or improve a little bit because we're going to actually do one for each show. Start with Monday Night Raw. Us or improve bio for Raw.
I want to keep Braun Strowman destroying Roman Reigns. That was honestly the best segment of Raw. It was the best for a while too. Just the fact that the crowd was chanting "Thank you, Braun," and "You deserve it," and all this stuff. It was fucking great. One point he got slid into the ambulance and all of a sudden you hear Braun going, "I'm not done with you yet." It was the best thing ever.
My My only issue with this, which is going to be part of my, I guess, toss slash improve of that segment, is that obviously they're trying to make the crowd feel sympathetic for Roman from the ass kicking he took.
Not really working, no.
And no, the crowd just shit on it, and I loved it. Like, I was happy the crowd reacted the way they did.
I was proud of that crowd. Was it New Jersey?
Boston.
It's New York.
Boston. Oh, no. Boston. Yeah. Sorry, no. SmackDown was Boston because... Oh. That'll be part Raw of the key. Raw was Long Island.
Good on them, man. That was a fun crowd.
And, I mean, with the ambulance toss, the ambulance flip, I'm like, there's no way. First of all, that thing is 14,000 pounds.
1,000 pounds, yeah.
And is designed to not roll at high speeds while carrying people who are dying in it.
Yeah, but it's never been tested with Braun Strowman before, so you can't say that it's not feasible.
I don't know what magazine was, but they interviewed an actual strongman competitor, and he said, there's no fucking way I could even do it.
I mean, if you look at it, it was obvious that it was on a crane or something. Like,
yeah, there was something.
There was some kind of whatever thing he was using, but it was still... The idea of it was fucking hilarious. It just nonstop beating. Like, the only way to make it better was have Strowman drive off in the ambulance, like, with Reigns at the end. Like, to figure, okay, I'm driving over a bridge with this guy. Fuck, it's over. Yeah, it was such a good segment. So, Carp, your improve is going to be the ambulance part of that segment?
Well, the whole trying to make the crowd feel sympathetic.
Yeah.
For Roman, the crowd is not going for it. Vince, sorry, get over it. I know you see money, but
I mean,
not all the crowd, but most of the crowd fucking hates the guy because you're forcing him down our throats.
I mean, it's gotten go ahead.
I was going to say, I keep getting this feeling that maybe he's not trying to push him as a face. Maybe they're doing something different since they know the crowd's going to hate him anyway.
Yeah.
They're going to force him down your throats because he knows that you hate him, and he knows that you hate when he does this. I was listening to a Kurt Angle's interview with Chris Jericho, or Chris Jericho's interview with Kurt Angle, and he was talking about how Vince knows that the crowd's going to turn on you if you push the guy too much.
Right.
So that's what they did with Kurt Angle. They pushed him and had the crowd turn on him. Kurt was the one that was saying, oh, it's not going to work. And he said, trust me, it worked with The Rock. It's going to work with you.
Yeah. For me, the toss, or maybe the improve, is going to be that Nia Jax match with Charlotte. Because fucking Jax, I think this was all Jax's fault. I think she was gassed in the ring. You can see I don't think she had as an intense match since NXT. And you could see she was, like, slouching, man. She was gassed.
She dropped Charlotte on her head at one point.
Yeah, she dropped twice. Charlotte on her head. Twice. And then that whole fucking Charlotte backflip super whatever kick to the face. Like, she didn't catch her properly. So she literally took the boot straight in the face. And Charlotte went down fucking headfirst into the mat again. Like, this is... I don't care if you're... I mean... Nia Jax fits a purpose, right? She's unique. She's got a unique look. So I don't care if you got a bit of meat on you, but at least be able to carry yourself in the ring and not gas during such an important match in your career. You know what I mean? That's kind of concerning for me. If you're going to push somebody like that, they have to be able to go. Owens is a big guy. He can go. You never see that guy gas. So if she wants to be able to hit these big matches, she's got to be able to get in better conditioning, not shape. Just cardio conditioning. What do you guys think?
You gotta put Charlotte on a high pedestal, though. She was dropped on her head twice and then did the moonsault. Because if you play back and watch, she got dumped from the power slam or whatever.
Yep.
Well, when she went for that shoulder breaker, she landed on her head, not on the shoulder.
She got
dumped twice and still finished the match. But yeah, I agree. If you're going to want to perform at a higher level, you need to have great conditioning. And I don't think she's there.
Carp, what do you think?
No, well, you just keep pushing her as the monster she is, like flattening these girls, but these girls like still getting over somehow in the end. You know, don't do like a bullfit gimmick, obviously, with her, because that's just a slap in the face.
Be over. There's no way. You can't.
She's not, you know, she's getting blown up too easily. She could, I'm sure, get into shape, cardio-wise, shape for the ring. Like, there's obviously a reason they brought you up, you know. Keep your ass ready.
Yeah, I agree. All right, that's been Raw. Let's get into SmackDown. We'll take it right back from the ones where again. start with Carp this time. Carp, let's get your keep tosser and pooper smackdown.
Keep Kevin Owens parler en français in Boston, telling off the Bruins fans how the Habs are always better than them, and just, you know, going on about how he could beat up anybody in French. And then he's like, oh, I forgot, you stupid Americans only know one language. Like, just the trying to get as much heat on himself as he can by bashing the crowd. I know it's the oldest trick in the book, but speaking a second language, and especially Montreal Canadiens in Boston territory. Oh, yeah. So keep Kevin Owens. And then, I mean, the fight forever brought Sami Zayn back over to him. You can never get away from him.
Yeah, they will never leave.
Just that opening segment, even Baron Corbin, like, he's gotten a lot better. I know he's like, I'm a big bully and I'm going to beat you up. But Baron Corbin's drastically improved from where he started to where he is now.
My only slight improve for the night would have just been his speaking ability, because it came off kind of robotish, but he's gotten a lot better in the ring for sure.
So that's going to be your improve?
Yeah.
Okay. My keep for this week is going to be the fact that Sami Zayn's on SmackDown, because that guy was being wasted on Raw. He's now in the land of opportunity. He's even said it himself. I think it's going to be, you see his match with Styles is just it's just showing you this guy, what if you give him a shot, what he's going to be able to do. He's already got the fans supporting him. So all you need to do is just push this guy. And I think SmackDown is going to give him that opportunity. So I look forward to Zayn doing well on SmackDown. Okay, so that's going to be our keep toss and proof of the two shows. Up next, we are going to be discussing his new segment, What's on the Network? And I have no sound clip for that. No. Oh, yeah, hold on. I got one. What's on network right now? All right.
Boo. Hey. You can't do that for yourself.
Yep, that's my key for the week right there.
No, that's going to be the actual theme for the segment, is what's on the network right now. There you go. So there's always a way to incorporate the sound clip, because Heavyset's not here to say right now. I have to be able to bring this back. It is the Energizer Bunny. It is the herpes. It is the, well, I guess it gets the killer carpe diem because of the Iron Man of this network. Not the herpes, the Iron Man part. All right. So
a little bit of herpes too. I mean, what?
All right. That's for another time. But there's only one new thing on the network this week, and that is WWE Ride Along Highway to Hollywood. I believe Miz and Maryse. I don't know the other two. Have you guys seen it yet?
It's Carmella and Alexa Bliss, and I have not had a chance to watch it yet.
This is where Katie would come in perfect, because she is a networkaholic, and I'm sure she's seen it. So, Katie, we will get your review next week. I haven't had a chance to check it out, but for those who have the network, check that out. Okay.
I was on Twitter watching Miz trying to make Maryse say English words with her thick French accent.
Okay.
And that was killing me. He was trying to make her say epidural and then some other words, and I was dying because I hear it every day where I live. It's just, it's so funny to hear it on TV.
It is very appropriate for us. Yeah. I agree. But anything on the network that you guys have been watching, or just any WWE content you guys have been watching?
Outside of Raw and SmackDown, I'm networkless, so nope.
Anything on YouTube or?
I listened to Alistair's Black Theme again, which was pretty good. I like.
Yeah, I did listen to that today.
It's nice and angry. I kind of dig it.
Cool. Any merch hoarding this week or?
I got to get a game for the next All Beer Place.
Hold on.
But having not purchased it.
You should have saved it, but okay.
And then I'm not really a merch whore, but I'm a beer whore, because I did a quick little road trip to Ontario and bought a variety of beer for myself for the next couple of weeks.
How about you, Bio? Any new pop figures?
Yeah, one. Only one, though.
Which one?
And it's a Phantom Foxy from Five Nights at Freddy's.
Cool.
It's a Target exclusive.
How much is that worth?
I have no idea. I haven't entered any pops in the little app for a while.
Oh, do you have? Okay, you have a database of, like, you and Heavy, right? You have that database.
It's a pop price guide. If you go on Pop Price Guide, you make an account, you can add all your pops in, and it'll tell you how much they're worth or how much they're selling for.
That's awesome.
And I also was checking out a clip on YouTube of Broken Matt Hardy's greatest moments.
Guys, is this going to happen? Is he going to start doing the promos in the accent? Or do you think WWE is paranoid about this TNA stuff? Carp.
It's when the lawsuit gets mulled over and settled, depending who wins. Now, if the Hardys win, it'll show up. for now, he's not really doing anything, but he's not not doing anything at the same time. So,
yeah, I think it was perfect to bring him back the way they did. And somebody explained it to me and I was like, oh, I get it. If you're a casual fan and you've seen the Hardys coming back, if Matt Hardy's doing this weird, speaking weird language, delete, broken, whatever, you're not going to understand why.
Yeah, it's true.
You're just going to be like, what the hell's up with Matt Hardy? You know, so I think them bringing them back as, you know, he's kind of doing the broken stuff to please the IWC fan, but he's still Matt Hardy from the old days, Team Extreme. So I think down the line, it's going to eventually mold into what the broken gimmick was, but it's going to wait until the lawsuit. And that'll also explain why he's broken to the casuals that normally just watch WWE.
Right. Okay, let's get back into we're going to actually get into feedback, emails, and maybe some tweets that have been going on to the WrestleCast account. Now, Bao, you weren't here last week. That was the botched recording. There was actually a new emailer, and I just want to make sure we don't lose that new emailer. Do you happen to have, if you log into the account, I don't know if you're ready. Guessing not. But while he checks that, there's actually a new...
I'm pulling it up.
Cool. Okay. While you're pulling that up, there's actually a new email. I think we had two last week. So if you don't mind, maybe we can read those too quick. I want to make sure that they don't get forgotten. You know, maybe they don't realize that the show's actually going to stay. It's going to be here till Heavyset comes back. He was mentioning that's going to be gone. So I just want to make sure that we don't lose, especially that new emailer. I don't know who the second one was because Katie was on last week. She usually emails.
Okay. Yeah. So there's one from the new guy and then LL.
Okay, so whenever you're ready, let's start with the new guy. Actually,
all right.
Well, we can't do the dummy yet because Andy isn't here. So we got your sound clip here.
Oh.
Okay, nothing bad. Nothing bad. Good.
All right, so we'll start with him. It says, "Hiya, Wrestlecasters. I wanted to thank you for the great content you keep putting out week after week. I am a longtime listener, and I've always thought about emailing the show. With the new wrestling season upon us, I decided the time to join in is now. I have a couple of questions to ask the panel, so here we go. It says, I'm Andy in it this week. With the power of hindsight, would you have moved a match down or taken a match off the WrestleMania 33 card? Which one would it be? If so, which one would it be?
Okay.
You want to answer that now?
Yeah, we'll start. This is a tough one. I would have liked to have the Cruiserweights on the main card, but because the card was so freaking stacked... It's tough to do, but a nice cruiserweight match in the middle or near the end would have helped with, I mean, because when you ended with Taker, injured Taker, I find it just the last couple matches really ruined the show. Not ruined the show, but it just made it tougher to watch. And having a cruiserweight match in that mix, I think would have helped. That's pretty much the only big change that I can think of. How about you, Carp?
I believe what I said last week was cut 10 minutes out of Taker and Reigns' match Taker was physically broken and maybe give it to Owens and Jericho.
Jericho? I would have maybe ended on Goldberg. You can't,
Where it was fine, but give the time that Taker and Reigns was given to them instead.
So what? Because
I felt the match was too short.
Yeah, what did that the Reigns match went like 25, eh?
Reigns Owens. Reigns Taker was just shy of 24 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, you could have easily done that in 15.
But yeah, with Taker being broken and but that was me. These are my complaints. WrestleMania being 5.5-6 hours is so long now.
Well, like, and that's the issue I had with the New Japan show, watching it in one sitting. And that's why I didn't enjoy the main event, because it's too long. 6 hours is tough, man. Four hours max for me. That's even with the pre-show and everything. Okay, Bio, next. Bio answered the question, I guess.
Yeah, I think the only thing I would have changed would have been the Intercontinental title. I would have tried to squeeze room into the main card, but something's got to be pushed. So if that's what it was, then that's what it was.
Okay, what's the next question?
All right, it says, since the draft, who has been the MVP for Raw and SmackDown? Who has been the most improved for Raw and SmackDown? And who has been the disappointment for each of their respective brands?
Carp, you want to start?
I believe for Raw, I said Jericho and Owens were the MVPs last few seasons.
Yeah.
With the Festival of Friendship, breakup and all that stuff. Yep. SmackDown, I said the MVP was Miz. He's just been unbelievable.
Over AJ.
Well, AJ wrestling-wise, yes, but...
Miz everything else-wise?
Yeah.
Total package.
Right? Like it's like a tie.
Yeah.
And then I find Baron Corbin has steadily improved.
Yep.
Was that part of the question as well?
Yeah, go whatever, man.
Most improved.
Most improved I would give Baron Corbin and Alexa Bliss on SmackDown. On Raw, I have no idea. I guess Cesaro and Sheamus.
Cesaro and Sheamus.
Well, Rusev has been on and off TV recently, so I feel like it's not really...
Sheamus and Cesaro. That's fucking great.
I mean, them coming together as a tag team finally was solid, so I was happy with that. And then least or most disappointing... on Raw, Dana Brooke, I find she could have gotten a lot better.
Yeah, I think it was just circumstance. Like, she was Charlotte's kind of lackey, and then they tried to turn her face, and nobody cares. It's just, I don't know. I find they're just not pushing her well.
We'll see. I mean, she is reading How to Be Your Own Protege, so.
There you go.
So, I'm sure that's a real book.
She should be like a Tony Robbins character. That should be good. What do you think, Bio?
Yeah, I agree with the Dana Brooke for disappointment. She just kind of... The start, stop. Is she with Charlotte? Is she against Charlotte? Kind of hurt her a lot. For most improved, I think Sheamus and Cesaro as well, because they weren't really doing anything before the draft, and all they did was have a series of seven matches, and who knows how many matches they had before that, where nobody really cared about them, and now everybody having the chant and everything like that. MVP for Raw would be Kevin Owens. From the time he won the Universal title all the way through until even now he's on SmackDown. But he has been the highlight of Raw every week, even though he had the job to Goldberg.
Yeah, that is what it is.
Yeah, don't get me started on that.
Even though I didn't mind that WrestleMania match, I thought it was what it was supposed to be. My improvement.
It was longer. It was about 5 minutes, a little over 5 minutes, I believe. So it's a little longer than I thought it was going to be.
It's what I was going to. You're not going to get much more than that. And for what it was pretty high impact.
It was better. It was better than what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, so. There you go. The only thing I'd add to that is Apollo Crews. That guy's just fucking falling by the wayside.
That would have been my SmackDown one. Yeah.
He's hopefully something happens with him on Raw. Is that it for the questions on that one, or is that it for the?
Yeah, it says again, thank you for giving us some awesome content and entertainment. Keep up the good work. Always looking in from the outside, Mikey Misfit.
Thank you very much, Mikey Misfit. Okay, let's get it's LL, right? Next one.
Yeah, it says, and now the end is near, and so we face the final curtain.
Fanny Sinatra. Okay.
It's been a great ride, but sadly the Wrestlecast will be no more. Psych.
Well, I guess this, unfortunately, I'm reading this a week later when I'm actually debuting. Doesn't make much sense, but yeah, go ahead.
It says thank you to everyone who has been a part of the show over the years, especially anyone who has had the joy of doing post-production. Yeah, sometimes it's not fun. I'm sure we'll all cross paths via other shows in the future, possibly on the European Uppercut, which you'll find right here, right now. Cut to Mr. Old School soundboard. On the brand new Trending Topics Network, although that assumes I'm back regularly eventually. So, anyway, I have one question. It says, anyway, I have one question for each of you. What has been your personal highlight of your appearances on Wrestlecast?
I'd say my soundboard clips. That's some people love them, some people despise them, but it's polarizing. It's like Joe Rogan. You either love the guy or you fucking hate his guts. So that's my soundboard. I'd say that's my highlight.
And generally you in real life too.
Yeah, generally I'm usually a prick. Oh. So there you go.
Which would be my highlight of Wrestlecast was that making fun of old school so bad, he had to find himself a defense person. Somebody to defend him.
I have a fan. Lady Undertaker. Shout out to Lady Undertaker. I have a fan.
Oh.
And my current Iron Man streak, I'm feeling pretty good about it, which will probably come to an end sometime in May. So.
Rip. I think mine would be when we Heavyset and I took over the show from the former host.
The former
that was fun for me while I had a computer. So
there you go.
I enjoyed doing what I was doing.
Hopefully you will have one sometime soon. Okay. Thank you very much, Living Legend. So we come to the end of the show. Not completely like legend things. It's just, like I said, just the timing's been bad because we had to scrap that out of the show. But yeah, plugs, final thoughts. We'll start with the Iron Man. Go ahead.
As per usual, at Killer Carpe Diem for personal stuff, at AllBeerInside or AllBeerInside@gmail.com. Get your stuff in. We're recording Easter Friday or Good Friday, as the Christian type people call it.
Right.
As well, I released All Beer Inside 13.5, where we played Disturbed Friends, extremely intoxicated.
You can literally hear Carp going downhill with it. It's like a two-minute period where you just start slurring everything. Yeah. It's the funniest shit ever.
it just hit all of a sudden. It's quite entertaining, I found, and hopefully we could do a 14.5 and start doing half episodes. And then in the next couple of months, I'll be trying to bring back CFL Easy Picks.
There you go. Biohazard.
Oh, and StayWars.com. Always looking for new members.
There you go. Biohazard.
Well, for right now, you can follow me on Twitter at Biohazard_FTV. There might be some new things coming up, but I have to get word on what the names and everything is going to be.
So we can't talk about it yet?
Well, we can. I mean,
we got a Pokemon show.
I have a... Yeah, well, we play the competitive card game, so it's going to be based around the competitive scene and new stuff coming out, stuff like that.
Hey, side question, do you still play with the phone app?
I have it on my phone. I haven't opened it in a couple of days.
Apparently it's dropped 90%. Like within the first month and a half, there was a 90% drop off.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same game. There's new Pokemon, so it's like, hey, it's fun, and then... it's like, okay, it's the same game.
Yeah, it was.
It's cool to see the new. It's cool to see the new stuff, but it's like after a while, once you start collecting them all, it's kind of like, okay, now what?
Yeah. Can you? Because I don't know the stuff offhand, so correct me here. At Rasslecast on Twitter.
Yes.
Rasslecast@gmail.com.
Yes.
Facebook.com/whatever Rasslecast, or search for Rasslecast. I don't know if
they're... Facebook.com/Rasslecast.
There you go.
I got the URL and everything.
Awesome. Yeah. Tweet us, email us. That makes sense. Tweet us, email
slide
us.
Slide into the DMs. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's it. As Andy would say, he's on the DMs.
Slide. His DMs are open.
Always open. And Facebook.com/Rasslecast. Get in touch with us. Don't be shy. Send us an email. If you're on the fence, just send us an email. And also, I would like to start kind of an AWWIR segment, so we don't have to read emails. Send us your voicemails, your phone calls. Let's bring back the AWWIR. We will answer your calls in real time. You don't have to do any crazy production. Just fucking, we'll start with voicemails. We'll see how that works. And you can email that MP3, rasslecast@gmail.com. We'll see how many people we can get. So we'll try it out. Just throwing it out there, see how many people we can get. Apart from that, for Biohazard Carp, this is Mr. Old School. Rasslecast Live is here to stay for the time being until Heavyset takes over. Let me know how you like this format. Do you want to change anything? Do you want to go back to the old format? How do you like it? That's it for this week. See you later. Or is there a tagline that we do?
No.
Okay. Not that I know of.
Okay, fuck it. Bye.
See you Friday, man.
All right. Thanks, guys.
See you. Mm-hmm.